How are we doing today? Happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. I love that video because it really does speak to the heart of how we feel here at the church and all that God is doing among us. And it's so awesome to be able to celebrate and give thanks for all that has been done through mothers. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We have an awesome women's ministry in our church, and it is so amazing. I know you probably don't hear a whole lot about it, but we know that we just had the retreat, so you had heard more about that than you probably will do all year. But we're grateful so much for what you guys all do and for how much God is working through you. And so I pray that you are feeling blessed. Hallelujah. We are so excited about what God is doing. The Word of God tells us that God is always working, and there is nothing impossible for Him. He is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And that is amazing when it begins to unfold in your life. The Christian life is a life that is personal, that God is doing things just for you in behalf of your life and your family. All you need to do is align yourself with God so the blessings of God can flow. And once we do that, God sustains us. He keeps us. He enables us to overcome. He enables us to have a unique life experience from the world. Hallelujah. Do you know you're not a victim of the world? Hallelujah. No, you're not. You are living your life. You are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. We cannot forget that. We must always remember who we are and whose we are. We belong to the Lord. We are not of this world. We do not subscribe to all the things of this world. We are from a whole nother kingdom. Hallelujah. We have been born into it by the Spirit of God. And that is why we're having our minds renewed by the Word of God. God is in the process of transforming us. He's changing our inward programming to align with the kingdom of God, so that we can walk in the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that if you are friends of the world, then you will have enmity with God. Isn't that true? And that is so important to remember, because we don't want the world thinking that we're of them, and we don't want our comrades in our walk with God thinking that the world is something we need to make happy. The church doesn't exist to satisfy the world or to make the world happy or to subscribe to any of its philosophies or theologies. But we represent the kingdom of God. The Word of God is the very truth that we live by. The Word of God is designed to help us understand how God created the world to work. And when we align ourselves according to divine programming, man, we can flow without viruses. We can operate without all of these little pop-up things that are designed to distract you and bring you to a place you don't want to go. So you and I are a part of a new way of living and thinking that is actually not new at all. It's original. It is God's original plan. And as a result, you and I can reap the benefits of living this life in the same manner that Adam and Eve were to live in the garden. So God's provision, God's covering, we have all of these things available to us when we walk in the ways of the Lord. And so in Genesis 1:1, we have been talking about this idea of God establishing himself to maintain a pleasant land, to establish his very kingdom on earth, the word of God says. It says, when we pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Do you want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, guess what? It is. It's happening. There's no way to usurp the will of God. God is enabling his way to be ensured amongst men. And you and I are part of that, and he is doing a great thing. And so in Genesis 1:1-3, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless. It was void. And there was darkness that was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. And I want you to think about that, because this is a picture of divine order. This is a picture of what God did in the creation of the world. And God has a plan for everything. He's got a system in place for everything that exists. Things work, they function a particular way. They're not just random. Things aren't just happening by themselves, but they're functioning according to divine programming, divine design. And you and I, we're a part of that, as we have talked about. And we know that God is at work always. In verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. And this is the foundation of everything that God does. When God shows up, the lights come on. Hallelujah. When God shows up, the lights come on. And you and I are a part of this transforming work, that when the light comes on, you see things you didn't see before. Isn't that right? You ever clean and then all of a sudden you put on more light and you go, how did I miss that? You go, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize that that was that. Ooh, that looks bad. Let me get some paint and go over that again. And that is what the light will do. It will reveal things that we otherwise would have missed. And so that leads to the question, have you ever had to clean up a mess? Have you ever had to clean up a mess? Have you ever been cleaning and you know, and then you get to a particular room. You don't have to name any names. But you get to this room and you realize that room is a mess. Woo! Well, somebody's having a heart attack over here. They saw that picture. Lord have mercy. I actually didn't think this was that bad. I've seen worse. Haven't you? Oh, yeah, yeah. But when you have a mess, it's hard to find things. It's hard to utilize things that are designed to work a certain way. When you have a mess, you've got chaos. You've got confusion. When you have a mess, you've got... hardships and difficulties at maneuvering and getting around. You always got to be worrying about not stepping on something or tripping over something. And if you don't have enough light, you're going to find yourself having an even more difficult time because of the darkness. But when the light of God shines, he brings things into order. Hallelujah. And when God brings your life into order, when he brings your house into order, when things begin to come together, now you can operate, you can function according to the way things were designed to work. Things can begin to flow and operate in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Have you ever had someone say to you, I'll clean my room, I'll help with the mess, I'll get it straightened out, And then you say, great, awesome. And you take off, you do what you got to do. And then you come back later and you go, ooh, what happened? Has that ever happened to you? And you go, what in the world? Was I speaking English? What happened? Are we using the same language? Are we communicating? I thought this place was going to come to order. Well, we know that God is not that kind of God. When God says he has begun a good work in you, you can trust that he will complete it. He will see it through. And that is what God does in our lives. He sees us through. He enables us to experience newness of life. Hallelujah. Help me out, Danny. And so, when we find ourselves in that place, we can trust that God is a God of his word. And I would like to use as a theme today, a woman of her word. A woman of her word. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would enable us to be a people who are walking in your ways, that you may bring our lives into divine order, that we may be a people who experience the natural flow of the creative work of God through our lives, that our hearts and our minds would be renewed and transformed, and that we would walk in the ways of the Lord for the sake of reflecting the kingdom of God, that the will of God would be done, and that you would use us as your ambassadors. We ask, O God, that you would give us ears to hear today what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and that we would arise and be able to walk in the power of the Spirit of God, in the wisdom of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, God has called us to live in a divine order. We're not just going along trying to survive, as you've heard me say many times before, but we are a people who are operating according to divine design. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He put thought into it. There was a design plan. Things work and function a particular way. When your electronic devices stop functioning the way the manufacturer designed it to work, you have problems with it. Isn't that right? And all of a sudden, you start wondering what's wrong with this thing, and you start trying to determine whether or not it's still worth keeping. And you need to upgrade, or you need a new one, or you need to have it serviced or repaired. And that is what God is doing with our lives. God is refreshing us. He is renewing us. He has given us new life. And he has enabled us to overcome by the word of God. The word of God, it checks our programming to make sure that we're living according to the manufacturer's design plan. That the software that's running in our minds is actually functioning and operating without error and without any glitches or problems, but that we are smoothly operating according to the wisdom of God. And as we do this, God brings our lives into order. He makes the crooked way straight. He makes the rough way smooth. He enables us to overcome. And so as God created in the beginning the heavens and the earth, he took that which was formless and void. Formless and void. It's a picture of the condition of mankind in its fallen state. Mankind, humility, and all of the things that God had poured into humanity in the garden is now lost. And it is because of the darkness that is over the surface of the deep. Hallelujah. But we have good news today. The word of God tells us deep calls to deep. Hallelujah. Deep calls to deep. God is able to reach down into the deepest, darkest parts of your life, of your situation, of your circumstances, and he can call it out. And he can redeem you. He can renew you. He can revive you. He can bring life to you. The Spirit of God moves. God does not sit still. He's always moving over the surface of the waters. And the waters represent life, represent the difficulties of life, the flowingness of life, moving through life, the challenges that are faced as you go through life itself. And you and I have the light of Christ. We have the light of God operating and functioning in us in order to overcome the challenges and the difficulties of a fallen world. And so motherhood is supposed to bring spiritual life back into order. And it shines in the darkness, those unknown areas of life. And that is what we are experiencing. And for spiritual mothers, God has gifted those of you born of the Spirit of God, who have the wisdom of God, who have the understanding and the operation of the Spirit of the Lord working through you, you're able to see things that others can't see. You're able to shine light into the darkness, and you can bring them to life. Hallelujah. That is why Christ came. He came that we may have life. Life-giving life. Life more abundantly. And that is why Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he will not depart from it. And saints of God, it's the ways of divine design, how God designed things to function, how he designed them to work. And we're training up our children to understand how God designed the world to work. People to live, to operate, and to function in harmony with the very truths of God. And when you understand those principles, when you understand the original programming that God established, you will not depart from it, because it will bring your life into order. Everything will come together. God will begin to make the crooked way straight and the rough way smooth. He will even bring down the high mountains, the Word of God says, so you can step over them. Hallelujah. In other words, what seems impossible, God will enable you to overcome it. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel, we see in this account of how Samuel became the man of God that he is. And it begins with the story of his mother. And his mother was a very unique woman. She was one of two wives. Could you imagine? Goodness. Everybody's going, Women are going, oh, Lord, no. And the men are going, Two wives. Well, could you imagine two people telling you to get right? Lord, have mercy. And so here she is. She's in this situation, but she's barren, and she doesn't have any children. And in the culture, when you don't have children, you're considered to be cursed, or somehow you lack the favor of God. But that is not true. And we see in this story that Hannah was not going to settle for the motivations of her community. She was going to seek the face of God diligently until God showed up. And Elkanah, her husband, he sees her as she is weeping and crying because of the ridicule of her friends and the people around her who were mocking her and making fun of her because she didn't have any children. Her husband was supportive. And the Word of God tells us that he loved her very much. He loved her very, very much, and he supported her. And so he asks her, why do you weep and why are you not eating? She was so depressed, so oppressed that she couldn't even eat. He said, why is your heart sad? Man, if you ever want to make a man hurt, just have a sad face. Wives, oh my goodness, men do not like to see a woman sad, a woman down, a woman burdened. We want to fix them. We want to find out what the problem is. We want to help them to come together. It is the heart of a man to want to see a woman joyous and happy and laughing and having fun, enjoying life. That is what men want. Isn't that right, men? Yeah. Hallelujah. You see? That was good. That's what men want. We want happy women. Because everybody knows, happy wife, happy life. You see? Now that is not a scripture. I just want you to know that is not in the Bible. Don't be quoting that like it came from Jesus. Because Jesus didn't say that. So you wives, don't be using that as leverage against your husband as if it was the word of God. No, it's not. It's a conclusion of men. Hallelujah. That's what it is. It's not the word of God. It's the conclusion of men. And so we see that he's saying to her, why is your heart sad? He says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we men are better than having 10 sons. Hallelujah. But is that what she said? No, you see, there's no answer. There's no answer. In fact, we see that this actually, the enemy will take your situation, we see in this, will take your situation, your negative experience, and he will magnify it. He will blow it up to make it worse than it really is. And he will do that to keep you from worshiping God. Because he knows when you worship God, the weight and the bondage of oppression begins to melt away. When you lift up holy hands unto God, when you cry out to God with the voice of victory, you begin to cause the darkness to go, be dispelled by the light of God. God begins to shine when you worship God, when you magnify God. I've never seen somebody who praises and worships God in a depressed state. How do you do that? You can't do it. You can't go from praising and giving thanks to God to depression. And so I guarantee you, when the enemy starts pulling you down, you raise yourself up in the Spirit of God. You begin to rebuke the devourer. You begin to bless the name of the Lord. You begin to glorify God. You begin to lift him up. And God will dispel the darkness. The light will shine. Hallelujah. Don't allow the enemy to magnify your problems. And so Hannah has experienced this. And she's learning how to magnify God instead of magnifying her problem. And Hannah, she rises up after eating. She never did respond to her husband. He says, what's going on? I'm better than 10 sons. She said, yeah, I'm about to finish eating now. And so she goes and she moves on to the temple of God and she sees Eli the priest there sitting on the seat and he's near the doorstep of the temple of the Lord. And she goes on in. But she is greatly distressed, and she's prayed to the Lord, and she wept bitterly. She was feeling so burdened, so heavy, so down, because she didn't have a child. She wanted a baby so bad. She was tired of being ridiculed, even though she had the love of her husband. Hallelujah. And so she came to the house of God, she came to the altar of the Lord, and she cried out before God. And saints of God, whenever you are distressed about something, whenever you are burdened greatly, there's only one place to go, and that is the altar of God. You have to learn how to cry out to God. And when you cry out to God, God will show up. God will hear your cry and enable you to overcome. Verse 11 says that she made a vow and she said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me." Oh, how many of us want God to remember them? Hallelujah. We know that the word of God says there's a day when people will stand before the Lord and he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But she is saying, "Lord, remember me. Remember me." I say, "Lord, remember me." I pray that you pray, "Lord, remember me. Remember me." That's what Jesus said, isn't it? He said, "Remember me when you do these things. As often as you do them in remembrance of me." Remember that? Yeah, it was just a week ago we read communion. You remember? Hallelujah. And so she is applying a principle. Do you see these patterns here? And so God is establishing a principle here that when we are aligned with the word of God, with the will of God, things begin to come into order. And it says that she said, "Don't forget your maidservant, but give your maidservant a son." She is praying. She is cutting to the chase. She is not going, "Well, Lord, I know that you are blah, blah, blah." He's like, "No, God, I need a son." She is praying for what her need is, the cry of her heart. She is so burdened. She is cutting to the chase. And you and I have been there before, haven't we? Oh, when there's something that's so burdening on your heart, there's something that is hurting so deeply, and you get to call on God. You're not talking about the goodness of all the things that of the world and all the things that are going around. You're not praying, you know, for world peace and thinking about all of the nations of the world. You're like, "God, remember me. Remember me." Hallelujah. And that is what God does. He will remember you. She asked for a son and she made him a promise. She said, "Then I will give him to the Lord." Oh, now God says, "Wait, say that again. If I give you a son, you're going to give him back to me so I can use him? So I can work through him?" Well, God says, "That is a deal." Hallelujah. She wasn't praying for a son just for herself, but she was praying because she wanted a son to give back to God. It was her first fruit offering. When you are blessed of God, the firsts belong to God. Hallelujah. She said, "I'm not going to wait till I have other sons. I'm going to give my first son to God." And that is a divine principle. All firsts belong to God. The first of anything you get, it belongs to the Lord. And God has done that with him, just like he did with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus. And we see this with Jericho. We see this with all of these different elements in the word of God where the firsts belong to God. And she gave to God her son. It's according to divine design, divine order. That is how Jacob got blessed, because of the way he operated according to the wisdom of God with Laban. Hallelujah. And so when you give him to the Lord, she says, it will be, when I give him to the Lord, it will be for his whole life, all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Well, hallelujah. And that is the vow of a Nazarite. That is a Nazarite vow. That is a similar vow to the vow that Jesus took, Samson took. And their razor never came upon their head. And it was a sign of the covering of God. and the blessing of God. They were dedicated to the Lord. They were surrendered to God. And so your dolorous cries of righteousness will position you into a place of favor that enables you to experience a move of God. Hallelujah. Your deep heartfelt cries from the heart, your desire to hear and have an encounter with God to bring an answer, God will honor that if it's going to align you when you align yourself with the divine plan of God. That's what enables you to have a powerful experience in God. And many times people pray, but then they keep living the same way they were before they prayed. They don't tweak and align themselves even more with the word of God, with the will of God. When we come before God and we ask God for something, we must come expecting to change. So often we come to God in prayer, but we don't want to change. We just want God to work. But God does not work without change. Our hearts are constantly being transformed, being molded, being shaped. And you must learn how to wait upon the Lord. The first mistake people make when they pray is they get up and walk away. That is the number one problem with why you end up having to have the same issue over and over again, because of a lack of waiting on God. And she prayed her prayer and she waited for a response. She waited for an answer. She was waiting for something to happen. And then verse 12 says that as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli, the high priest, was watching her mouth. And as Hannah was praying, it says that she was speaking from the heart. She was speaking within her heart. And her lips were even moving, but her voice was not heard. And so Eli thought she was drunk. Now that is a crazy thing for a priest to think about somebody. You know, if you come here and you're praying and you know, oh, I see your mouth is moving, but I don't hear anything coming out of your mouth. My assumption is not you're drunk, right? So that was weird, right? It's like, okay, what kind of guy is this Eli guy? But one of the reasons he was thinking that is because prayer was always audible. Prayer was always audible. When people prayed throughout the scriptures, it was always out loud. That is why Daniel got arrested. So he would pray 3 times a day, and he was praying out loud, and everybody heard him, because when people prayed, they prayed out loud. They didn't pray in their minds, because prayer is for 2 reasons, 3 reasons really. One is you're talking to God, but 2, the devil needs to hear that you are in relationship, in fellowship with God. And 3, it's so that the universe and all God's creation can be in synchronous harmony with your connection to God. You become a part of the creative works of God. The Spirit of God begins to move. You know, the Word of God says all creation praises Him. Hallelujah. And you join in with God's divine order. You become a part of God's divine design. You're connecting. And God enables all that He's done to worship Him, to magnify Him. And so as you're making your requests known unto God, the creation praises that are going up are surrounding your prayer like the golden bowl of incense, like smoke ascending into the air. And we join the great cloud of witnesses the scripture talks about, and all those others who are worshiping God. Right now, there's somebody worshiping God somewhere. And so as you pray, and we all align ourselves in prayer to God, those psalms of worship, they always go up together. God is a multitasker, isn't that right? And so while you're praying, there's worship going somewhere. And by the time it comes to God, as God is hearing it, he's hearing your prayer. He's experiencing the worship of those over here. And he's got things happening over there and behind you and all around us. And he's got many things happening. At the same time, the angelic hosts in heaven are going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord God, who is and is to come. All of this is happening simultaneously. And as you begin to pray, you begin to cry out unto God. You join in. Hallelujah. And your request is on the same harmonious frequency as the worshipers of God. And so you become a part of something. And that is why we learn how to wait. We wait on God. And so Eli has got these thoughts in her mind because he sees her mouth moving, but she is not making a sound as people normally did. And so Eli says to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. Goodness. He must have thought that as she was praying, she was taking sips from a bottle. Goodness. That would be a first in the house of the Lord, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. I got to move on from there. And so Hannah replies, no, Lord, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. She had cried out so much before God. She was just, woo, oh, she was, have you ever been lightheaded from just exertion from work? Well, she was exerted and tired and overwhelmed through prayer and from the distress of all these things that she has been dealing with. And she's come to pour it out before the Lord. And saints of God, we have to learn how to pour things out before the Lord. We don't need to go talking about it to every Tom, Dick, or Harry that we encounter that comes around, but we can cry out to God. We can call upon the name of the Lord because God is the only solution to the problem. He is the only one who can help you. He says, do not consider your maidservant, she says, as a worthless woman. That is what they considered drunks. Drunks were considered worthless. And she is saying, I am not worthless, but I have spoken until now out of great concern and provocation. Hallelujah. She said, until now. Until now. Why? Because she poured it out at the altar of God. She released it. She was able to let the burden and the weight of all of the oppression that her community placed on her, she released it to God at the altar. And saints of God, that is true release. True release will happen. The Spirit of God will enable you to be free when you release your burden to the Lord. And Eli answered and he says, go in peace then. Oh, by the way, may the God of Israel grant your petition. Hallelujah. 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 And so you will have what you've asked of him. Hallelujah. Now, she didn't ask for that, but all she did was tell him that she was crying out to God. He didn't even know what her petition was until she said what was happening. And then he says, may the God of Israel grant your petition. Amen. Why? Because she was aligned with the creative order of God, with the will of God, with the word of God. And she says, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's something about when you eat that makes your face. No, when you pray, it makes your face glad. When you release it to God. Hallelujah. All right. Eating does help a little bit. But when you're burdened down and you release it to God, then you can eat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is why on Mother's Day, we all go out to eat. Hallelujah. Because we're leaving our burdens at the altar and we go out so we can eat. Hallelujah. So don't leave carrying your burdens with you. Make sure you leave them right here. Hallelujah. We got people who will bring that chaos into order and cast it out in the woods somewhere. Hallelujah. And so she was now glad. She went from sad to glad because of her encounter with God and her ability to realize that the Lord has taken her burden and the blessing of God was passed on through the confirming word of Eli the priest. May you have favor in the sight of your God. He says, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. And so the woman went her way and ate. Hallelujah. And her face was no longer sad. And so then they rose early, her and her husband and family, and in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord. Don't you love that? She cried out alone, gave her burden to God by herself. Then she went with her family and they worshiped God. They magnify God. They glorify God. And I'm sure Elkanah said, hey, honey, what's up with you? You got the joy on your face now. Oh, you had something good happening. And then I'm sure he did a little dance. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And it says he returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife. And guess what happened? The Lord remembered her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And saints of God, God will remember you. He will remember you when you cry out to God, when you align your life to God. He will make a way for you. Worshiping God despite your depravity, your position, he will position you to experience God's ability to bring your chaos into order and turn your darkness into light. Hallelujah. That is what she experienced. That is what will happen as we apply these principles in our life. God is a God of order, and he is at work bringing all things together so that unity in the Spirit of God can be manifested. And so in 2 Samuel 1, it tells us that Hannah prayed, and she said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I pray that your heart is exalting the Lord. I pray that you will have this prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving, this prayer of victory, of the workings of God, that you are able to rejoice. And she prayed a prayer that went on for 11 verses, celebrating what God was doing in her. And in the end, she says, tells us that Elkanah, her husband, went to his home in Ramah, but they left their boy Samuel, Jesus was left too, but Samuel, that was last week, but Samuel, now he is left in the house of the Lord with Eli the priest for all the days of his life. And she gave back her son, her gift, the very thing that she prayed for, she gave it back to God. God honored her word because she gave her gift, her first, back to God. God will honor your prayer. He will honor the cry of your heart when your heart is for him. When your desire is to glorify him, to honor him. And the very blessing that God has given you, has placed in your life, God will use it to advance his kingdom. And we know that Samuel became a prophet of God. And saints of God, you never know what giftings your children will have. You'll never know what God will do in the life of the people that are in your lineage. And it may not be your son or your daughter, but it might be your grandson or your granddaughter or your great-grandson or your great-granddaughter. It may be 10 generations down the line. It may be 20. And that may be why the enemy is fighting you. That might be why the enemy is trying to hinder you, trying to keep you from the altar of God. But be like Hannah. You pursue God with all your heart. You cry out to God with all your heart. You be fervent in prayer. God will hear the cry of your heart when your desire is to glorify him. Not only did Hannah glorify God, but her whole house. And it says that they returned after she weaned the baby and she left him in the house of God. Hallelujah. There's no better place to raise your child than the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I pray that you will know the will of God for you. It tells us, as we summarize all of this, that if you can give away the very blessings that you've prayed for over the course of your life, then you will see the blessing of God. And that is ultimately the question we have to all ask. Can we give away the blessings that we've prayed for over the course of our life? Can we do it? Can we do what Hannah did? Can we take our child to the altar and slay him? Can we give up our only begotten son like God did? Well, you can when you realize that all that you own comes from God. That all that you have comes from God. And if God can give you one, he can give you an abundance. All the first belong to God. And when we surrender to God, when we give back to God, God will show up in the midst of our lives. He will turn our chaos into order. Hallelujah. And he will cause all things to work together for your good, because you are called according to his purpose. So saints of God, be a people of your word. Stand behind your own promises. Hannah was a woman of her word. She said, God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And she honored her own word. She was able to prove herself trustworthy. And I pray that you are the same way also. That you too are living in divine order, according to the plan of God, according to the principles of God, and that you are a people of your word. Let's stand true. Let's stand firm. Let's allow God to arise as we minister at the feet of Jesus, as we cry out to God, as we look to experience the pleasant land of his provision and his covering, that we too may be in good spirits and leave out with the joy of the Lord and with the glory of God upon our heads, as he is lifted up and exalted and magnified in the power of the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Shake it. We will not be moved. We'll just sit right here. Yeah. Come on. God is doing in the midst. And I pray that you are like Hannah, able to cry out to God in your times of distress. Are you burdened and heavy laden? Oh, the word of God says he will give you life. He will breathe life into you. He will enable you to overcome. If you've never brought your burdens to the Lord, today is a good day. Maybe you've never even given your life to God. Well, today is an even better day for that. Let Christ come into your life. Ask him to become your Lord and Savior, and that he would enable you to overcome, that you would align your life with the principles of God in his word, and that you would experience the light of God shining into your darkness so that the will of God can be revealed, and that you would be able to walk victoriously in the wisdom and power of God by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you, oh God, for all that you are doing in our midst. And God, I ask that those who cry out to you, that you would hear their cry, that souls would be saved, that minds would be renewed and transformed, and that even children would be born and come to life, and that you would establish yourself as an example in the lives of your people, that we too would be able to go out into this dark world and testify of the goodness of God and his ability to redeem, deliver, heal, and set the captives free. And that, God, you would exalt your own name as we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, happy Mother's Day to you all. And I pray that you are honoring the mothers in your family as you go out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
God is fighting for